issues heading into the weekend. If you do, there's a great place in the upstate of South Carolina. It's North Hills Automotive, northhillsauto.com. Butler Road, Augusta Street, two great locations in the Greenville, Malden, Simpsonville area. They'll take care of you. They're the best auto repair provider in the upstate of South Carolina. All makes, all models. I told you many, many times, and I love this done right, on time, first time guaranteed slogan that they have. Love the pro fleet solutions. Love the convenience. Love the shuttles. I love the lifetime guarantee. Every part and every labor ever done on any vehicle, as long as you own it, is a lifetime warranty there. And love the fact they do everything. Sometimes you go to places and they won't do this, won't do that. They do everything when it comes to your automobile. There's a difference at North Hills Automotive. That's why for 40 years now, this business continues to grow and continues to make strides and make impressions in the upstate of South Carolina. It's NorthHillsAutomotive.com, sponsoring their done right, on time, first time guaranteed. I will have a guarantee for you, Ashley Mixon. See if you come up with one for me. I have two guarantees for you. One is this weekend in college football will be better than last week. Clemson fans will be happier. South Carolina, Georgia fans will still be happy. But we have bigger games. Texas, Ohio State's bigger. Oklahoma, Michigan's bigger. Like, just better and bigger games. Plus, Braves, Phillies again this week. Plus, NFL this week. This is a much better sports weekend as we head into it than last weekend.
We're now into good, legitimate good sports weekend.
Yes.
Like, beginning of August, you try to convince yourself the football's back with the preseason NFL games.
Yes.
We all know it's not. This is when it feels real.
We don't have to pretend anymore.
There's no talking yourself into enjoying the sports slate this weekend.
Love it. Absolutely love it. My other guarantee, I'm going to bring on Major Kennedy with us here. Trey Kennedy from over at Clemson in the ROTC program. And because I got another guarantee, the flyover is going to be awesome tomorrow. Good morning, sir. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. Good morning, Ashley. How are you guys?
Man, we're blessed. We are ready.
Yeah.
I'm about to jump on the skid, ready for it for sure. We got a big day tomorrow.
We have a big day. So good season of flyovers coming at you. Clemson Corps always helping out on campus. But we're starting off with a good one. We have four F-35B Lightning IIs coming from Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 224 down at Marine Corps Air Station, Beaufort, South Carolina. Check this out. Four pilots, these are one-seaters. Daniel High School in Clemson, 2017 grad, Captain Matthew Two Chains, call sign Two Chains, Kreider, Matthew Kreider. Cool thing about this is I commissioned him in the Marine Corps, and now he's flying the world's best fighter attack jet that exists. So he's going to be doing the flyover this weekend along with his commanding officer from VMFA 224 down in Beaufort. And then we got another Clemson grad, two masters. He didn't go to undergrad at Clemson. He went to a master's program at Clemson, has two master's degrees. And then a Naval Academy guy. We'll bring him along, too. So this is going to be an incredible flyover. You do not want to miss this.
I'm looking at this aircraft. That's impressive there, man. You're telling me this is the creme de la creme? This is the best fighter jet in the world?
Yeah, so this is a fighter attack. So it can not only do air superiority, but it can also drop munitions on the ground. And this is the B variant. So I said F-35B. So there's the A, which is the Air Force, and the C, which is the Navy. So the C is the carrier version, meaning it can take off and land on a carrier. This is the B version, which is called STOVL. It's short takeoff and vertical landing. And so basically what this has is a Rolls-Royce fan, and it's got a tube in it that twists down and shoots straight down and allows it to take off almost vertically, and then it can hover and land vertically too, and then this thing, it moves, so check this out, it moves fast, very fast, to the point where it's governored at 1200 miles an hour. So 1200 miles an hour, we'll put that into perspective. Atlanta to Denver in 1 hour. And the reason why it's governed is it's because it's got this protective coating on it that deflects radar signature when it's moving across a battle space. So if it went faster than that, which it definitely can, but if it went faster than that, that would start to peel off. So that's the aircraft you're going to see, and you're going to see four of them. That's going to be pretty solid.
I'm fascinated by that, man.
Oh,
I mean, that
goodness.
that is the most, of all the things I've heard this morning, this is it. This is the thing I learned the most about.
It's going to be a good one. And then to know that one of Clemson, South Carolina's own is up there operating this aircraft. It seems like yesterday I was interviewing this young man, and we were up at the Madron Center. And, I mean, he's so attention to detail. Most of my interviews lasted about 45 minutes. This guy, it was like two and a half hours. We were up in the Madron Center. We walked through every single detail of the program, and then, you know, now to see him, you know, actually operating. He's already deployed and done some different things around the world, and now he's going to be bringing it home over Clemson, South Carolina. So really, really cool story.
This makes me feel so patriotic, so patriotic.
On 9/11.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Good day for that.
Let me ask you this, because I'm fascinated by it, and I've been fascinated by this since I was a little kid. When you are doing a flyover and you're planning for this huge thing, how do you make sure that the timing is perfect? How intricate is that planning going into something like that?
Yeah. So John Blau wrote a story about the picture that we coordinated with the C-17 and the photo over the top of it that, you know, some of the guys out of the athletic department took the video and the photos. And John Blau wrote, every flyover has a story, and that's exactly what happens. Everything has to be so perfect, but it's just like simulated combat. It's you know, there's an infinite amount of variables that are gonna go differently than you anticipate, and we're looking for right down to the second. And so you could have everything from weather, which we're watching tomorrow. You could have an aircraft have a something that needs to be fixed. If you think about an aircraft like this, for every 1 hour in the air, there's about 8 hours worth of maintenance on the ground, and maintenance is the bottleneck. And so when you're trying to, you know, align all those variants together and making sure those variables don't impact, you know, what your actual mission looks like, you know, it's pretty incredible that you just got to line it all up. So when you see a flyover, especially when it's just right on time, there's a lot of work that goes into that from the athletic department, Don Scott with everything on timing of game day, and then you've got even Dr. Speed on the field with the band and making sure the band hits the note on the right time. It's just a perfect, you know, orchestra of everything coming together, a symphony, I should say, of everything coming together for the exact timing that you need. So it's pretty incredible, Ashby.
Oh, incredible. I love it.
Did you say one seat in this aircraft?
Go ahead.
Did you say one seat?
One seat, just one. Yeah, we'd have to strap you to the wing if you want to ride, Mickey, but no back seater on this one.
I'd peel off at a lot less than 1,200 miles an hour, I can tell you that much. Obviously then, like the pilots tomorrow, they're trained in mm-hmm. this individual aircraft. Is that something they move up to, and you got to have flight hours and all that? How do you get to be a pilot of this F-35?
Yeah. So the Marine Corps is different from the other branches in that, you know, when you sign your contract, you're going to go to flight school from the get go. The other ones, you kind of got to compete for a spot in flight school, but the Marine Corps, once you pass, you know, officer candidate school, your boot camp, and then you go to the basic school, which is where all Marine officers go to first to become provisional infantry platoon commanders. Then you go to flight school, where your first training phase is introductory flight school, which is you're getting an Cessna and getting like 24 hours in a plane, just understanding how, a ground school, everything going on there, and then going up into the plane and getting stick time and really understanding how everything works. And then you start to move up into, you know, start to look more toward the platform that you're going to fly, and it's a stepping stone. So their first, your first aircraft that you get into will be a jet, and then it'll be a trainer. And then you go into the F-35 and you go what we call the RAG, but basically it's you're there with the squadron, doing training with the squadron before you're operational. So it's a stepping stone. It's about a 2.5 year pipeline for this platform. And then once you're there, you're operational. And here's another thing that a lot of people don't realize. They ask me all the time, how much does it cost to do a flyover? And the answer is it's already paid for. So remember I told you a minute ago that maintenance is the bottleneck. Whenever you have a jet, that's ready to go, it's got to get out. It's like hot food at a restaurant, right? Yeah. You got to take it out. I don't care who's there, right? Well, what they're doing is all these pilots have to get, in the Marine Corps we call them naval aviators, but all these pilots have to get these training hours. Well, when the jet is up and it's ready to go, somebody's got to be sitting in it. So you got a guy there scheduling people on time every time that jet's ready to go. They know a month out what their schedule looks like over the next month and when they need to be flying to get all their quals, to get all their training time in. Well, you know, that training time is already budgeted for by taxpayers. And so the fact that we're doing a flyover for this event, that just happens to be what that training is for that day. If he wasn't doing the flyover, he'd be doing something else over a training area or over the ocean or, you know, something like that. So these guys are just constantly on the move, and they've got maintenance guys down there working 24/7 on shifts to make sure that these jets are constantly meeting that requirement to get worked on, but then are ready to go for the next pilot to go get his training time. So really cool thing, and it's cool that we get to realign their training mission from, instead of, you know, flying over a simulated battlefield, to, hey, let's go do a flyover at Clemson University. And our mission there is hitting the time on target.
Oh, I love that.
That's the coolest job day of training I've ever heard of in my life.
What I heard there was free, though. Like, it's a free flight. Like, there's no, it didn't cost anything.
Yeah, free flight. That's right. Yeah. You got it.
All right, final one for you. Because 2516 got on our text line, or Adams Grove text line, and said, saw one at an air show in Buford a couple of years ago, and it was awesome. They parked it in midair looking at us. Like, that's something you don't see every day.
That's that V-Stall, or the Stovall, sorry. So that Rolls-Royce fan that twists down, you can see it. You can go on YouTube and look for that. Look for the F-35B, but you'll see that Rolls-Royce fan. If you see it from the back, you'll see it almost kind of do this little twisting motion, and it'll shoot straight down, and that's how it'll hover above the ground. So that's what that texter was talking about, and it's a pretty cool sight to see. You won't see that at the the flyover.
We're not gonna land on a 50-yard line tomorrow or anything. We're not gonna hover at 50. Okay.
We won't hover over Death Valley, but that won't be quite as fun. Although it would be a little cool to see, but no, we won't do that. But yeah, you can go on YouTube and check that out. There's lots of videos of those doing that. But this is a very cool variant, and of course, the Marine Corps has got to have something. You know, we don't get the real nice shiny things too often. So when we got this Joint Strike Fighter, coming out, we definitely wanted something a little different for our mission, and that's why it has that Stovall capability.
7 home games. How many flyovers do I get this year? Do we know yet?
You get 7 right now. If weather goes according to plan, and all our aircraft are on time and ready to roll, and our maintenance guys are doing their job, which I'm sure they will be, and pending any real-world missions that come up. We had a couple of those come up last year. But pending that, we should have all 7 home games have a flyover. So it's going
to
be fun.
Oh, well, then I have just commissioned you to something here, sir.
I need
a weekly update.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
A weekly preview of what the flyover is going to be.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's go.
I'll commit to that. And I'll tell you today, while I got everyone, today about 1 p.m., you'll see them in the vicinity of Clemson and the Donaldson Center. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's a quick trip for them. So if you hear some noise right around 1 p.m. today, that's our 4 jets coming in.
I love that. I love it. Major Kennedy, can't thank you enough. Clemson Corps, go to Clemson Corps, by the way, their website, and learn more about what they're doing, the history of it, and how you can help them. And just an awesome deal. Man, that's the best news I've heard all day long. So
incredible.
Yep, can't thank you enough, buddy.
Going to be a fun weekend. Good talking to you guys. Thanks for the plug. ClemsonCorps.com. If you guys want to get involved or donate, we appreciate it, Mickey. Hey, Ashby, it's good hearing from you as well.
All right. Tell the family we said hello. See you, buddy.
I'm good. See you.
How about that, man? Ashby, any idea how much a F-35 costs? Just give me a guess on this.
$40 million.
Higher.
Really?
Yep.
That was like my extreme guess. 70 mil.
Higher.
90?
Between 90 and $121 million. We got 4 of them coming tomorrow.
I can give them, I mean, I have about $20 to offer him.
That's a $500 million.
I'll take it for that.
$500 million is going to fly over tomorrow. Right? Am I doing it right?
That makes me feel very American.
Oh, 9/11. That's a good segment. Short break. We'll come back. Have we anybody talked anything about Georgia Southern at all? Like the football team they're bringing here tomorrow? I'll tell you what they did, what they will be bringing, what kind of club they bring into Death Valley right after this.
What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones here. The Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingalls is back in action this week as the high school football season roars into week 4 here in the Upstate. As always, join Grayson Mann and me live as we break down all the action before, during, and after the game on Friday nights. Pre-game coverage begins at 7 p.m. with kickoff at 7:30 p.m. right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
My great friends at One Time Plumber, the name is the number, One Time Plumber in Charleston, in Columbia, the upstate of South Carolina. When it goes bad, it's going to go bad for somebody. And it's not going to be like your water heater. I had a friend of mine yesterday say that the water heater burst his house is not going very well, and he's going tankless now. He had two water heaters. You know you got a big house, you have two water heaters. Anyway, he didn't tell me what it's going to cost him to fix it. I was like, what? Anyway, it goes bad. And water heater's a major deal in this guy's life yesterday. So don't want it to happen to you and go bad for you. Think about it. Get with One Time Plumber. The name is the number. Go by and see my great friends. It's One Time Plumber.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
Football season is in full swing, and the best place to catch every rivalry and every big shot is Twin Peaks. Every scratch-made favorites, legendary wings, and 29-degree draft beer. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Two things in this world that bring me to tears over my patriotism. Okay. Well,
can I see them now?
There's several things. One of them is the Olympics.
Yeah.
Makes me cry every year.
Love it.
Every time.
Love it.
Number two is a flyover and Top Gun. I'm lumping those together.
All right.
It just does it for me.
Just makes you like get a lump in your throat.
Yes.
You get a little.
Every time.
Hair kind of stands up on your arms a little bit. Back of your neck a little bit.
Dry it up.
Yeah.
Dry it up.
There's one. My go-to Billy Kwok tear moments.
Yes.
No matter what I'm doing or no matter where I'm at, you show me Field of Dreams where he asks his dad to have a catch. And it's like, oh, I'll be back in a minute. I'll be back in a minute.
Something in my eye.
The last time I had a major cry, like a outburst, like can't control it cry, it was after my mom passed away. And we're watching Bluey. And are you familiar with Bluey at all?
Oh, yeah.
All right. For those that don't know, Bluey's a cartoon. It's a children's cartoon. It's about these Australian dogs, family dogs. And anyway, the mom has her dad over, and they're talking about their childhood stuff. And my mom had just passed away like a month earlier. And I wasn't all that emotional about it. I tried to handle it really well. I did the eulogy. My wife makes fun of my eulogy. I didn't cry during the eulogy part. Anyway, so I'm holding it together pretty good, right? And this Bluey scene comes on where Bluey's mom is talking to her dad about these childhood memories and these games they played. And then the mom says, "It seemed like, you know, so long ago we did that." And the dad said, you know, the old veteran dad said, "It really wasn't that long ago." And I was like, "Whoo!" So I sprint out of my kitchen. I go in my garage, and I'm telling you, I absolutely lose it. And my wife comes out like, "Are you going to be okay?" Like, this is the first time I ever cried where my wife's like, "This is okay. Like, don't have to dry it up over here." Mm-hmm. You know? So it was Bluey that did it for me.
That's some... Those were some necessary tears.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you, Bluey is one of those shows that is obviously for kids, but I think it's for everybody.
Oh, it's everybody. There's one Bluey episode where the mom thinks she's doing really bad, and she finds out she's doing pretty good, and my wife It was like she'll get into it. Or how fast they're growing up. You want to make my wife cry? Mention something about how you only have so much time with your kid before they're 10 years old or something like that. Stat about how much time you spend with your kid. Oh, that's it in our household, man. And my wife's like, slow down. Make this thing slow down.
18 summers, Mickey.
Woo!
TikTok!
A little Isla's third birthday party Sunday.
Oh,
that's
precious.
A big part of the weekend.
Precious.
That'd be great.
Let me tell you. Tell you something you'll love Bluey even more.
Yeah.
So they make that show, like the art in it. Mm. They do it in colors that dogs can see.
No.
And so dogs all love Bluey because they can see the characters when they watch it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Shout out Bluey.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff for sure. We're going to have a weekly segment now from now on about flyovers. Can't beat that. Let me get a single game season, Chad in Columbia. How you doing, man?
Great. Mick, I'm a big fan of Bluey. Like,
big one. Love it.
Yeah. Like, that's a good, like, quality cartoon for a little kid. Mick, another little stat. I think 90% of the time you spend with your child in their entire life happens before they turn the age of 15.
Come on, man.
So think about that, dude. I mean, because once they go, Mick.
That's it.
Like, you know, like when they go to college, even if they live at home during the summers,
yeah.
I mean.
They don't want to be around
dude,
you.
It's kind of over.
It's over.
And so, like. Yeah, that's why like I'm a big fan of holding a child back in like kindergarten or fifth grade, like redshirting them.
Yeah, we call it bow hump.
Gives it another year.
How's your little girl right now?
Maturity. Just turned 8.
All right, we got to get you on the studio because one time I dropped the ball this summer. I forgot what it came up. Like, no, I can't do that. But anyway.
It was a family thing. It's all good. But she definitely wants to come up. I was thinking we could do it.
Come up.
You know, over Christmas break or something.
Yeah. For sure.
Hey, Mick, I wanted to ask you something. So I listened to the pod with you and Larry, right? And tell me if this comes across the wrong way. It's just my opinion. It felt like Larry was surprised that you haven't got called into the principal's office. Did it come across that way to you? Like almost like he's surprised that you haven't gotten a text or a phone call to chill out.
Well.
Is that fair?
The first one wasn't a chill out deal. The first one was, let me show you the plan and let me try to sell you on it. And I bought it. And the plan worked. It worked. It was awesome. But I think a couple things. First, I don't think that they listen a whole lot. And he shouldn't be listening a whole lot. And the other part of it is, he shouldn't care. You know, you don't need to be thin-skinned enough to care unless it's presented to you. And you got to, you know, some of the stuff that all coaches do. Brian Kelly talked about this a little bit the other day. It's like, you got to protect yourself and your team and all that. I get all that. And the final part is like, I'm not a big deal through all that. But the other thing is like, what do you say? Like, I watched the game. I saw it. It wasn't, you can't, you know, like there's nothing to fight back with.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest thing, Mick, and the more I think about the game, you know, like, it comes across, like, and I don't know if he's selling, but, like, you know, the game got away from us after the pick six. It's like, I mean, Mick, you say it all the time. Go ahead.
No, I said, that's wrong. The story of the game is not that there were missed assignments, that the turnover really caused the momentum of the game. And all. That's not the story of the game. The story of the game is that one team was superior athletically, that size and speed and just total athleticism. And but the major story of that is that these two teams this time last year were fairly even, and one team roster managed to hit home runs, and the other team struck out. That's the story.
Yeah, I mean, because we've seen games before where you muff a punt, you know, miss a field goal, you throw a bad pick, something like that, and the game gets away from you.
Yeah.
This is, like, anytime LSU threw the ball, it was a win for Clemson. Like, that was the best thing that could possibly happen, if Levitt threw it. If they just decided to run it or scamper, Mick, we never stop them. I don't even know if we forced too many actual third downs.
And that's scary because you played every defensive lineman you could play, and all of them got blown off the ball. And so now the true story moving forward is not the LSU game. That's a loss. You're going to lose no matter what. Loss is a loss, one-point loss, whatever. The true story is now you got who you got, and how are you going to get better? The competition will be down, and you're not going to be playing in Baton Rouge, but – there are issues out there that rear their head, like both lines of scrimmage, that can get a little bit better through a little better technique. But the fact is that the talent level is the scary, scary thing staring in the face. Like, that's not even close to being able to compete in where you were at this point, you know, a few years ago.
I got two questions for you. Yeah. All right, so if the similar outcome and similar art class happens against Miami, but it's at home, and they physically whip us and out-talent us similarly to the way the LSU did, okay, at home, if that happens, is the seat at all-time high, you know? And then second point to that is, like, what do you think Dabo's equity is with the fan base, like, going into the year, and what do you think it is now? Like, is he, you know, like, in legitimate trouble, like, in the season? Well, what are your thoughts on those two things?
Well, let me ask, before you hang up, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Like, just play it out that way. Play it out that, yep, Miami comes in and beats you by four touchdowns. All right?
Yep.
You've already fired coordinators. Right?
Yep.
What else do you do? So going into 27, how do you message that?
Like, because the thing is, Mick, I would say even the most, I shouldn't say loyal, because I think most people are loyal to Clemson, you know, but even the biggest Dabo supporters would probably say the contract is what's keeping him here more so than fans' actual hope of making us an elite ACC conference football team. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, if that's the case, then is he really the right guy for the job for this era? I would say no. And so, anyways, I want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Let's let the season play out a little bit. Like, what if they look good tomorrow? What if they beat North Carolina convincingly, beat Cal convincingly, compete with Miami, and then run a table, you know, 9-3 or something like that? That is, Ashby, that is within the realm of possibility. I don't think it's going to happen that way, because what I saw Saturday night was a talent deficiency issue, and you didn't address it in the offseason with portal guys. Now, but it is within the realm of possibility. Like, this team improves, and they get better, and they win some games they shouldn't supposed to, and like 8-4, 9-3, and that's a different deal in there. But I just – even at 8-4, like, how do you message going into 27? The same staff is going to be involved. The same head coach is going to be involved with making the decisions on personnel and with the portal. And, like, how do you go into it thinking 27 going to be any different than 26 or 25 or 24, 23, 22, 21? Like, how do you message that? I don't know how you and so then you're going to – what changes can you make outside of the head coach? And so, but you got $57 million. How is he going to do that? Does the AD come in? We talked about it earlier in the week. Does the AD come in and say, hey, you got to make personnel changes. We're going to have a personnel guy in there. And how does the head coach react to that? He's not going to sit around and have somebody else tell him what players he can take and on. And so the messaging of it and how, like, if you're the AD, if you're the board of trustees, you've got to go into 27 selling something. But if you're the head coach, you can't go tell them on, like, there's no more rearview mirror. Like, what's your windshield mentality moving forward? Like, it's a fascinating deal if it works out that way. But that's even at 8-4. Like, what's going to be different at 9-3, 10-2, with two blowouts in there? You could make and sell something, but I mean, again, it's going to be fascinating to watch it unfold. And I don't know what numbers. Again, this is I keep saying this, and I think I've convinced you this now. This is much more of an art class than a math class. Like, how does it look, and then how do you land that plane in your messaging for 27?
I'm still of the opinion that if you find a way to get to 10 wins, right, that's a math class. You can sit there and say, we got to 10 wins. But everything besides that and under that is all about an art class. It's all about it. Because, look, you're talking about talent, talent deficiency, whatever, compared to some of these other schools, you're still more talented than everybody else you're going to play, except for...
Are you sure?
Who's more talented than Clemson on the
schedule?
How
high were your seats in Baton Rouge?
Okay, besides...
I mean, could you... Was it really rainy and foggy? Are you sure? I don't, to be honest with you, I'm not sure Clemson's more talented than North Carolina. I know not South Carolina. I know not Miami. I know not, like, I'm not sure. I'm not on lines of scrimmage.
Yeah, not necessarily there. I agree with you on that. But my point is, like, if you lose to teams that are on paper less talented than you, then that directly reflects on something's got to be changed. Something's got to be different.
But what changes? There's no changes to be made except for one. And how do you fire, how do you get rid of a Hall of Fame national championship winning coach with $57 million on his contract? Like, that's fascinating. All of it's fascinating. Short break. We'll come back. Final segment of the week. And I've got six phone calls. Everybody will get 2 minutes when we come back right after this.
From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson athletics all year long. The Clemson Athletic Network lives right here on The Roar. On The Roar, where every day is game day.
My great friends at Trail, T-R-E-H-E-L.com, I know this culture, I know this brand scripting, I know this brand, I know what they're about, and I want to tell you that you won't find any better. This is the best builder in the upstate of South Carolina, Western North Carolina. You want it done right, on time, on budget. How do they do that? Well, one point person, the better building experience, one person is going to walk you through a process, make sure everything's explained, and make sure that you help make choices and give you all these options, cost cutting, and it won't be any change orders, and it won't be delayed. It will be on time and on budget, and that seems almost impossible, but it's true. And that's why it happens at every single project, guaranteed, on time, on budget, build it the right way, build it with a better building experience, TREHEO.com, 800-319-7006.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Texas, Mickey, did I hear you say if change needs to be made comes to football in the season, there's only one change that could be made, in your opinion, that must be to fire Dabo? No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is, what other changes? You have to have changes, right? If the season goes off the rails, you have to have changes. Well, what changes? You going to fire more coordinators? What other changes could you have? Because Dabo going to come out and say, all right, I'm going to take a bunch of transfer portal guys now. Could you sell that? I'm going to take 40 transfer portal guys. But is he going to do that? Like, that, my point, I'm not saying what will happen. I'm just saying, like, what are the possibilities? I don't think this team's going to turn it around all of a sudden. So you got to have changes. What changes? What else? You've already done all those other changes. Like, I'm just thinking out loud here. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. But I'm saying that what other – you can't go into the status quo.
Yeah, you've got to at least be able to bill that something big will be different, whether that's who's evaluating transfer guys, who's bringing in people, how many people you're bringing in, a GM situation, something like that. Like, there has to be some big change to site.
Right. It might not go off the rails. It might not. We'll see. All right, I got 1 minute apiece. I'm so sorry, but it's 1 minute apiece. Conrad, thanks for hanging on, man. 1 minute. Go right ahead. The most important thing you want to say.
Hey, so it's kind of a hypothetical statement, more so than a question, but I grew up racing dirt bikes at a really high level. I raced nationals all across the country and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm kind of thinking about this game as a point in time that I went through in my life where I had everything lined up. I'd done all my training. It was my time. We went to a national down in Florida, and it was supposed to be my time. I had a goal of a top 10. And when the gate dropped, I had all the confidence going into it. But when the gate dropped, everything kind of just went right out the window. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the worst rides I ever had in my career racing motocross. But it didn't define me, as in when I went, I took from it, I learned from it, and I went, and after that, all my other nationals, I mean, I was able to place top 10. I stayed in my goal. Do you think there's a world that we live in where our guys were just a little too fresh and the spotlight was a little too big for them, even though everyone claimed that we had nothing to lose and all this kind of stuff?
I think that's very well within the realm of possibility. I think that happened.
Yes.
But the question is that, well, first of all, that's a damning statement as it is. Like, that the moment was too big for you? Well, I don't want to have a bunch of football players that panicked and did that. But that being said, the question is, how much of it was that? How much of it can be fixed? And I think you make a great point, Conrad. I think that's one of the best points I've heard all week long. And it's interesting that you went through that, man. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. I hate to run, but that's a great phone call. Thank you so much. That happened. They panicked.
You heard him say it this week in interviews.
Yeah, they panicked.
Lights were really bright.
Lane Kiffin said it. Perfect storm, they panicked. Reminds me a little bit of Alabama pick six, A.J. Terrell,
yes.
44-16. Like, they panicked, and then they never got it back right.
That's why you've got to go and dominate this weekend.
Yeah, among other things. Pat from Easy, got about a minute, man. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mickey. Well, like I said, when I called you the other week, I said my focus was really going to be on Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Because I knew they wasn't going to probably win that game against LSU. And so now it's just about, what do you do when you play tomorrow? What like you talked about earlier in the week, go out and tackle somebody. Execute. Know your plays. Know what you're supposed to do. And then what's your attitude going to be on the field? You know, how are you going to handle that? And then your coordinators got to be better at what they're doing. You know, you can't have what we had last Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I'm just looking at seeing what they do tomorrow. I've been saying it for 3 weeks. I'm looking at Georgia Southern, and that's the reason why. So just go Tigers. Let's see what happens.
Thank you for sure, man. Appreciate that. Let me get Jersey Jack. Thanks for calling in, man. I got about a minute. Go right ahead. Hey, Jack.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
There.
Yes, sir. I got about a minute. Hey. Go ahead.
I got you, Greg. Hey, real quick, ain't going to show out tomorrow night. We need defense. I got the middle linebacker, Sammy Brown, showing out tomorrow night. And on offense, I think we're going to have a new person show out tomorrow night, Tate Reynolds, quarterback. So we'll go there. And tonight, soccer, we got Notre Dame at home, and women have Notre Dame on the road. So look for Rance for Gian and Jelani Hack to show out tonight on the soccer field. So have a great weekend, Tigers.
You too, buddy. Clemson versus Catholics in soccer this weekend. Love it. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. Good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. 292-3001. Let Brad Hughes take care of it for you. He'll do a great job for sure. Get the best music ready over there for me, Ashby. Butch, thanks for hanging on, man. Got about 1 minute. Go right ahead.
My man.
We're
on the right side of the dirt.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
Yes, sir. Glad I
said it. I heard by word of mouth, not by reading, that Stewart and Peak will be back this weekend. Have you heard anything on that?
Not this weekend. Next weekend, I'd expect him to play. I did not expect him to play this weekend. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe play like a limited role, play a couple plays just to get ready. But I don't think
so. Right. I'm wondering if that's what they're going to do, just put him in there and get a little ring rust off.
Yeah, could be. It's a good point.
Second is, what are y'all favored by over Georgia Southern?
19.5.
Okay. So, if you cover the spread, do you feel better about your team?
A little bit. Still need to see more.
Okay.
It'd be a step in the right
direction.
If
you go in there and do like South Carolina did to Kansas State, do you feel a lot better about your team?
A little bit. Still, there's nothing that would make you feel great, but a little better. Yeah. You'd stop jumping on your bottom lip a little bit.
I mean, you go in there and you roll them up like y'all have been notorious for doing.
Yeah.
Now, people of the past or this new generation don't remember that there'd been a lot of times that Clemson would come out and they'd be like, yeah, their offense is young this year, and, man, they'd just lay their hammer on you.
I don't see hammers.
Y'all got
I see pillows. I don't see hammers. Hey, man, let me run. I appreciate the phone call, but good stuff for sure. Eric Newton, for all real estate needs, EricNewton.com. Get in touch with him. No one knows more about real estate. And Clemson, everything Clemson related when it comes to real estate, the one guy, best in the